In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This, to me, is a rather extraordinary gospel that we hear today. Because if any of you have ever seen anyone that was bound by some sort of terrible physical infirmity, then you know how very difficult it makes you feel to see anyone like that. I don't care who it is, but someone especially who has been dealing with something their entire life, who's been suffering really with an unbelievable misery for most of their existence. And we don't know how old this woman today was, but we know that she had this problem for 18 years, bent over so that she could not even stand up straight. Her whole life was basically looking down at the ground. And the Lord, of course, feeling great compassion for this, as any of us would, comes and heals her immediately. Now, we don't know exactly the situation of this particular synagogue that he was in. We do know that he was teaching there, that he was allowed to teach there, and that there was somebody else who was in charge of this particular synagogue as well, who we can only surmise must have known this woman. Perhaps she had been there for all these 18 years. We don't know. Perhaps that was really one of this man's parishioners that he had to deal with day in, day out. Again, the background details of this story are not really known to us. But you can imagine her difficulty, how it was hard for her to come there, how it was difficult for her to be there in the congregation, time after time, bent over, asking for the mercy of God, yet nothing was happening at all. Nothing. But yet she remained faithful. She was still there. She wasn't complaining. There was nothing that she was saying that would cause any disturbance that we know of. We don't know what her fellow congregants thought about her. Probably in those days, because this was the common thing, that she was somehow being cursed because she had, or someone in her family had done something. And therefore she was paying the price for it, because that's what they thought in those days. And yet the Lord, in his great compassion, in this case, decides to heal her, and heal her immediately, and lay his hands on her, so that she rises immediately. And everyone was glorifying God about this. Now, the ruler of this particular synagogue, whoever this man was, his heart was obviously not in the right place, because he wasn't seeing in her a human being. He wasn't seeing in her really much more than a punched over animal, because of the comments that he made. 6 days, he says. Now, this man may be watching Jesus get all this attention, maybe somehow feeling a little bit jealous because maybe the Lord was saying some of the same things that this man had been telling his congregation for years and years and years, but now because it was the Lord himself and something about that presence brought them to him, that they were listening to him in a way that they were not listening to the man who was there every week. We don't know, but something stirred within him and made him feel angry and jealous, so that he falls back, as so many of us do, on the tried and true. And it doesn't matter which set we're talking about, but we all have our own little internal set of laws and ways that we respond. And when we get pressured and we're thrown into a difficult situation, we start wringing those out and start falling back on these things, the way we do, the way we respond. You know, when we can't really think about something and reply it in a way that is to the incident at hand, we fall back and start thinking about all kinds of other things and just respond out of the coldness of our hearts. And that's what this man did. 6 days, he said, we have to heal people, but not on the Sabbath. Not on the Sabbath. Now imagine, if she had been there for this 18 years in his congregation and all of a sudden stood up, I was completely healed, and this is what comes out. This man was not approaching another human being the way that all of us should approach human beings. And we're all guilty of this. I remember just a few weeks ago for myself, if I can tell it myself real quick, there was a woman that came to church. She's been here 3 or 4 times sporadically over the last few years. And when she comes, she's always looking for money. And so she came the first couple of times right in the middle of the services, but we gave her some money. And we cared for her and loved her as much as we could until she departed pretty quickly. And then a few weeks ago, I got here before the Orthros service, and somebody was waving to me from a car out the parking lot. I didn't recognize him. She gets out of the car, says hi, and comes running up, and it was the same woman. And I'm thinking, oh, here we go. Here we go. I've got all this stuff to do. I've got to get ready for Orthros. I've got this and that and the other. And here she is, and she's going to want to come in and talk. And in fact, she did. In fact, it was a little worse than usual because she came in and she not just asked for money in terms of, well, can you help me out? She had the exact amount that she needed. I need $490, she said. And I guess at that point I was a little put out and I felt a bit like a cash register. Fortunately, we had that here in our alms box, and I knew that. And so I went and I got the money and gave it to her and said, God bless you, I hope you're doing well. And she said a few things, and then thank you, and then out she went. And as soon as she went out that door, I felt terrible. Just terrible. And you know why? Because I was at that moment graced. I was at that moment blessed. And how was that? Because Jesus Christ himself came walking through that and asked money from me. And my attitude was cold and stony. And oh, not you again. Even though I did help him, I did not approach it in the right way. Because what does the Lord say to us in Matthew 25? He says, look, these are the things that you're going to be judged on. Lord, when did we see you in prison or naked or hungry or all these other different things that he goes through? And said, anytime you did it to the least of my brethren, you did it to me. And so that was Jesus Christ coming through the door. And in this case, in the gospel today, that was Jesus Christ who had come through the door, even in the person of that woman who was bent over and then had to stand up straight because she was healed. And the man then, like me a few weeks ago, didn't see it, didn't recognize it. You know, this gospel is always read on this same Sunday. It's the third Sunday before Christmas. And it's been read that way now for almost 1,000 years. St. Gregory Palamas gives a sermon on this day, not on this gospel, but on another epistle reading. But he mentions this particular gospel and that it's been done for years. And so if it was done for him back in the 1200s, 1300s, then that means it had been done for hundreds of years before that, if he was used to it at that point. And so the third Sunday, the Sunday before the forefathers, this gospel is read, and we might wonder why. And I think it's because it teaches us that the loneliness of the broken and the downtrodden and the people that really need our help are a precursor to the ultimate lonely and downtrodden one, the one who is God and who would become man and who was forced to be born in a cave, in a manger, all alone, with no one but a few people there attending. And so the church tries to warm us up to this whole idea that, look, we have to pay attention to those that are in need around us, because it doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter how much they bugged you, how much you can't stand them, even how much they may hate you. All that matters is that in that moment, that is Christ for us. That is Christ for us. And on the final great day of judgment, the Lord is going to come to us and say, remember so-and-so, that day when you were so bothered that they needed something and you blew them off? Guess who that was? That was me. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, don't be like me. Don't be like the man in this gospel. Don't be like either one of us. Be instead like the Lord who tells us by his own actions to love one another, to cherish one another, to see the image of God in one another. Every single person that we encounter, that is who we're supposed to be like. That is what we are called to. And if we can assume that attitude, if we can take that upon ourselves and open our hearts to our neighbors, our family, our parishioners, the entire world, then you will experience the Nativity this year in a way that you never have. Your hearts will be open. As we say in the Advent Paroclysis, your hearts will be open to prepare the way of the Lord, to receive his Nativity within yourself. Because that is what the Lord wants us to do. That is what he calls us to do. And if we want to be like him, that is what we must do. Amen.